Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
On ESPN Denver 1600. I am Chad LaChance filling in for Terry Wickstrom today. Terry's away and traveling, I believe, in his home state of Minnesota, off on a fishing trip with his wife, and I believe that him and Karen are having them quite a time. But in the meantime, I've commandeered ESPN Denver for the next 2 hours, and we've got a really full show for you guys lined up. It's the fall season. There's a lot of mix going on. You've got small game seasons going. We've got archery seasons going. We've also, of course, got a lot of excellent fall fishing, and Colorado's got a mix of all of the above. So there are very few people in the show that or in the state that know more about the hunting and fishing opportunities in the state of Colorado than Nathan Zielinski, and he's joining us here this morning. Good morning, Nate.
Good morning, Chad. How are you doing today?
Well, pretty good. Now, I'm indoors, and that's not always great, but I'd love to be outside today, but I'm not sure that you're outside either. What are you up to this morning?
You know, I kind of accomplished both. I am at the Off-Grid Expo here at the Arapahoe County Fairgrounds, so pretty awesome deal. Our good friend, you know him as well, Mr. Tim Beckett, he kind of puts on this show from B&B RV, so it's neat, man. We're here at the Arapahoe County Fairgrounds, and it is everything off-grid, so it is extreme tents that fit in the back of your trucks and generators and solar panels and campers that'll go anywhere and hydration systems. It's a pretty crazy show, and I just got here. The show is just opening its doors right now. But with that being said, I also capitalized on the early morning hours. If you see me here at the show, you'll definitely see I'm a little tired looking. I spent majority of the night hiking around, finding active bulls that I can hunt later on when the Off-Grid Expo closes today. So the show goes till 7. I'm going to take off mid-afternoon, and I'm going to be in the elk woods. I actually just acquired an archery tag just a couple days ago. So even though the season's been going a while, I now have an archery elk tag burning a hole in my pocket. So I'm going to get out in the woods later on this afternoon, evening. I found a bunch of hot bulls at the very early hours this morning. Accomplishing everything today, Chad. I did my scouting. I'm at the show talking, fishing, and hunting. And then I'll be actually in the elk woods this afternoon. So, trying to capitalize on everything you can here in Colorado in the fall.
Well, I think that's great. And you know, that's a motivation for everybody involved. I'm in studio here in South Denver this morning, but I'll be on the lake this afternoon. So like yourself, taking advantage of these days as they wind down heading into fall. Now, the Off-Grid Expo, how late's that go today?
So it goes till 7 tonight, and then it opens again tomorrow from 10 to, I believe, 4. So 10 to 7 today. There's seminars all day. I know I'm talking hunting in the seminar stage today. They have everything from, you know, like remote, you know, survival skill type seminars. They have goat yoga going on today. They have me talking hunting, everything out here. So it's a really cool venue today. So yeah, I encourage everybody to come down and say hi. And like I said, I'll be here till probably 3-4 o'clock. We have our boat here. You can come down, stop, talk fishing, hunting. It's a great time if you just want to say, hey, I wanted to get some time with myself. You have questions on fishing and hunting, you want some personal attention, come down to the show. I'm happy to talk to you. And then Dustin Sigler will be here this afternoon manning our booth. So if you want to talk walleye fishing or pike fishing with Dustin, he'll be here this whole afternoon to kind of acquire his brain and gain some intel. So
wait, did you say goat yoga? I didn't even know goats did yoga.
Goat yoga. I'll tell you what, it starts at 10. I would absolutely be involved in that had I not been here on the station dedicated to our loyal listeners. But I can see it from where I'm sitting right now. You're going to do yoga while the goats, I guess, climb on you. And I believe there's another one coming up here a little later in the day. So there's multiple opportunities for the goat yoga.
Well, I've had dinner at your house before. We'd be lucky if we haven't had goat. So that's good to talk about small game. But let's talk a little bit about elk hunting, big game. Let's reverse it up. You said you just got a tag. Did you get that off the leftover list or something like that?
I did. Yep, I had a great opportunity, and I grabbed an awesome tag this week. So excited about that. And, you know, there's so much going on with that. We've been talking about kind of all the general archery season, and today kicks off muzzleloader season, so now everybody is in the woods, and there's an awesome opportunity. We've been talking about some bears, some, you know, obviously the mule deer population and how we've been hunting them, but we want to spend a little bit more time on elk right now because, Chad, right now we are kind of very split in the state of what the elk are doing. So obviously our archery hunters have been out for a week or so. Our muzzleloaders are just starting today. So far, we're having one of the best archery seasons that we've probably ever had. I've seen more elk harvest so far this year than I've seen in a long time. So that's great to see. And then the muzzleloaders, from what I've seen so far, they are doing fantastic as well. But all the opportunities are varying. So depending on like how I had my scouting results early this morning, again, I was hiking around listening for bugles in the pitch black dark. And then obviously I caught into the last couple hours of the early morning. So that was kind of an awesome opportunity there. But there's everything happening. In some portions of the state, we have got an amazing opportunity at a major rut situation where it's a heavy calling situation, which honestly is early for us this year. Usually we're just starting kind of in that calling phase where the bulls are really actually happening in the rut. You know, when bulls bugle, it doesn't mean the rut's happening. It's really the cow sequence, you're going into estrus, that really kicks off the rut. But we had some cows go into that estrus phase, go into that heat early this year, so the calling has been going very strong, which is kind of unique for us. So some portions of the state, hunters are absolutely having some of the best calling action they've had in years, and then other portions of the state, they are tight-lipped. I saw both this morning. I covered, you know, about 100 miles in my truck, you know, hiking into places all night, and I had animals that I knew were there from previous scouting trips, and they did not make a peep this morning. Then I had other bulls that you could just whistle with your mouth, not a call, and they were responding. So a lot of opportunities. So as we kind of continue with our elk talk, our hunting right now is very much by region, by animal. So when you go in the woods, you 100% have to drop the mentality of how you're going to hunt before you get there. I think so many hunters, you know, as they drove up yesterday going into camp, for whether it's archery or muzzleloader, you know, everybody has that mindset of, hey, we're going to have a great calling session tomorrow, or hey, we're just going to go sit in a tree stand. You cannot do that. You can't have a pre-mindset of how you're going to hunt. You have to let the animals tell you how you're going to hunt. So when you get in the woods like this morning or this afternoon, if those bulls are ripping and the cows are talking and, you know, there's a very, you know, aggressive exchange between all the animals, it's going to lead to a calling situation. You can do so because that's what so many hunters want to do. But if you go out there and they are not talking, you have to back off and go with your plan B or C, which may be hunting a water hole, maybe just be spot and stalk, maybe hunting a trail that they're walking on. But the biggest thing right now is, I would say half the state, these bulls are fired up. They're screaming. The cows are talking. And half the units, you are in an amazing situation of hunting however you want. In the other half of the state, if the elk are not naturally talking, you cannot be the one to try to initiate that conversation because it's unnatural. The elk know what's happening. If they're not talking, it's because it's not going. And you kind of sound like a red flag anytime that you're doing a calling sequence. So if they're not talking, you need to adapt to that situation and hunt water, spot and stalk, extend your scouting and things like that. But right now, I'd say we're 50-50. I would say that within the next 3 to 5 days, we're going to be in pretty full swing across the entire state for a rut sequence. But right now, we're still not quite there in some portions of the state.
Well, you know, to speak to a general big picture of what you just said, and you hit the nail on the head, you can't go out there and tell the animals how you're going to do it. I don't care if you're hunting elk or you're hunting bears like I'm doing right now, or you're fishing or anything else. You have to hunt the conditions that you're presented with and the mood of the animals. You can't make fish bite. You can't make elk talk. I agree with you 100% on that. that the more open-minded, the most successful outdoorsmen I know are the open-minded ones that go about their hunt or their fishing with extreme open mind, being very observant as to what's going on around them, and then reacting accordingly. And that seems to be the best answer. So let me ask you, Nate, if let's say you're not in one of those units, because I've been talking to some other elk hunters that have not heard any talking yet. You mentioned water holes and maybe roads. What's some of your strategy for locating elk in the first place, or are you just doing that off of known water holes and things like that?
I mean, I would say that if you're not on a sequence where you're talking where elk are being very vocal, water holes, no matter what, honestly, water hole is probably the best way to hunt elk in the state of Colorado. Now, the only problem is everybody hunts water in a different manner. And this is coming from my 10 years of guiding elk hunts to just hunting myself. Again, water is the most conducive pattern that they're going to fall in. They will always have to hit it, especially as the rut kicks up. We're having high temperatures. Water is a mainstay. They have to utilize it. And the hotter it gets and the more they rut, the more they're going to utilize it. It might go from a once-a-day type thing to a couple times a day. The biggest thing with water, though, is everybody tends to hunt water when they're tired, or they hunt water from time to time, or, hey, we didn't hear a bugle this morning, so let's sit on it this afternoon. Water is a dedicated technique. So when you decide to hunt water, I encourage hunters, it makes a long day, it makes a boring day, it is fatiguing even though you're not doing anything, but I encourage hunters, if you're going to hunt water, sit there from before the sun comes up till after the sun goes down. It's one of those things that you have to dedicate to. Even though you might have trail cameras up and they might be hitting it, you know, at a fairly regular pattern, as the rut changes, those patterns will change slightly. You have to dedicate to water. But if the average hunter finds an active water hole where you have tracks, you have, you know, mud up on the weeds and grass around it where they've been, you know, splashing around and you know, moving around, if you have that active water hole, if you dedicate 4 or 5 days straight, all day sets, there is not a better way to harvest elk in Colorado than that. So that's hands down always my advice. So again, if they're not talking, find a water hole, you know, see where elk have been going, you know, look for where you have aspen groves. That's going to be a sign you have water. Follow creeks, but seek out those water holes. And definitely if you're not on, you know, bugling elk or talking elk, water hole is definitely your best odds. And if not, just your best odds in general. But the biggest advice, you have to dedicate to it. If you, you know, spontaneously hit it here, there, it's not going to be successful for you. You really need luck at that point in time. But if you dedicate to it, sit on it all day, it'll be your best odds of harvesting an elk in Colorado, both big bulls, little bulls, and cows.
Yeah, that's good to say. The key about a water hole is everybody has to visit it. And, you know, my house overlooks a water resource, and every day, a couple times a day, all the deer will come hit it, but they don't hit it at the same time. And like you said, trying to time it is no different than trying to time a bite or something. You really need to stick to fundamentals and discipline. And I'm hunting black bears right now, or this season. I've got a private land only black bear tag good for the whole month. And I've told myself 1,000 times in the last 6 weeks, discipline, discipline, discipline. I have to sit from daylight to dark, and it goes against everything I know, or everything I enjoy anyway, just sitting in one spot like that. But the reality is, if I want to harvest a black bear in Colorado without baiting or calling, I'm going to need to sit, overlook a food source, and ensure myself that that bear is going to come to me. We've got about maybe 2 minutes left, but last minute advice. I know there's a lot of newer hunters in the last 2 years in Colorado. If you're going to give 1 minute of advice to a new muzzleloader, or let's say just early season hunter, a muzzleloader archery guy, last minute advice, he's heading out in the fields in a minute and a half. What did you tell him?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the biggest failures, that's what we usually talk about with new hunters. Number one, watch your wind. You have to be in control of your wind at all times. So a lot of that's anticipation, knowing what your thermals are going to do, when they're going to change. But controlling your wind is everything. You know, once the bulls are talking, once it's there, it's easier to get it done than it is to mess it up. I would encourage hunters, spend more time on not screwing things up and not hurting yourself for the future, more so than even the hunt that you're on. So number one, control your wind. When the thing is about to happen, when the whole situation comes together, when that bull's coming in, when that cow's coming in, watch your movement. Wind kills everybody, number one. Number one failure is getting winded or getting smelled. You know, these animals can smell you from 500, 1,000 yards away. So control your wind. When it does happen, watch your movement. They're going to pick up on that kind of thing. They're looking for another elk standing there, but all of a sudden you're, you know, bobbing your head, you know, drawing your bow back, you know, pulling the hammer back on your muzzleloader. Movement's your second failure right there. And then the third thing, these animals naturally are going to go bed down early. They're up all night long. So, you know, the bulls that I was on this morning, they were bedding down at 6:30, 6:45 a.m. Same type thing in the afternoon. They don't get up until late. So the average hunter, we wait months and months, you know, 11 months for this hunt. So many people are spending too much time in the woods. I'm not saying spend time in the woods, but these, I call it a nature hike. So many people watch the bulls go into the dark timber, and instead of just letting them bed, letting them go along with their natural behavior and hunting them when they get back out of their bed, people are traipsing through the bed. They're blowing their wind, and they're ruining their opportunity for future hunts. So control your wind, control your movement, and when the bulls and the animals settle down for the day, back up, just glass from afar, go sit on a water hole. But the random hikes around are going to hurt you more than help you. So those are probably the three biggest tips to help a new hunter out.
Love it, Nate. I love it and agree with all three of those things. I think that's fantastic. Real quick, if a guy wants to get a hold of Nate Zielinski, how's he do it?
You know, you can go to our website, Tightline Outdoors. You know, just Google Tightline, Nate Zielinski. Something will come up. My cell phone number is very public. My email is very public. Just search it out, you know, via Google or Facebook or Instagram. Get a hold of us. Yeah, we'd love to talk to you about fishing, hunting, and any way we can help increase the success of the average sportsman.
All right. Well, thanks, Nate. Enjoy the Off-Grid Expo, and best of luck in your elk hunting.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, that's Nathan Zielinski, Tightline Outdoors. And with that, we've killed the first segment. We're going to step aside and take a quick break on ESPN Denver 1600.